Welcome to worship with Central Presbyterian Church, 133 Genesee Street in the Village of Avon. Reverend Karen Farmer, pastor.
Good morning.
Good morning.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you're welcome to worship on this Sunday morning. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. To this peace we are called as members of a single body. The peace of Christ be with you all. I shall not want.
He makes me lie down in green pastures.
He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths.
Even in the darkness, I fear no evil. You are with me.
My cup runneth over with goodness and mercy.
I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Let us worship God.
Chapter 10, verses 11 to 18. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. This ends today's reading.
Second reading for this morning is from the first letter of John, chapter 3, verses 16 to 24. Let us listen for God's word. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? Little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before him. Whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God. We receive from him whatever we ask because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. This is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. All who obey the commandments abide in him. He abides in them. And by this we know he abides in us, by the Spirit he has given us. This ends our second reading. It's Shepherd Sunday. Always the fourth Sunday after Easter, you can count on the readings about Jesus being the good shepherd, or the call to shepherd the flock from Ezekiel. It's always the 23rd Psalm. But it is also always one of the love Sundays. Now, this involves us in some language issues. If you are wondering why now, given the vast number of translations we have, why seminaries and presbyteries still require us to take Hebrew and Greek, today you'll learn why. You see, Greek has five different words that in English are love. Eros is one. You might remember it and hear echoes of erotic. You're on the right path. That is passionate love. That is sexual love. That is attraction. Eros. Think newlyweds and you have it. There is philia. You might hear Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Philia is brotherly love. It is also best friend love. That's philia. There is storge. Storge? That's natural love. Anybody have a child and love them? That's storge. Storge is mama bear love. It is deep and natural and abiding, and it's your family. That love is storge. There's philautia. Philautia is the one that gets condemned. That's self-love. So when you read in 1 Timothy the condemnation of those who are lovers of self, that's philautia. That's what they're calling. And there is agape. That's this love. It's the love John is talking about. It is unconditional. It is sacrificial. It is Jesus laying down his life for us. It is God's love for us. Agape also is our love for God. And that plays out when you love God when things are good and you love God when things are not. That's agape. In the Bible, it's all love. So it's hard when you're reading the Bible in English to figure out exactly what kind of love they're talking about. And what we tend to do is we translate it into our culture and our ideas of love, because that's what we know. And we try to pick up context clues. Like the love of David and Jonathan is most likely best friend love. That when they talk about Song of Solomon, that love is probably Eros. But we also have a lot of cultural issues when we try to make the jump from a book that's thousands of years old into today. And I think some of these is
our culture. Like, there is a heavy focus on erotic. Who's dating who? Who's pictured with who? Who's going out with whom? We often make assumptions that the love between best friends might be a little suspicious, might be erotic. We culturally struggle with this, and we seem to have flattened all kinds of love into this one thing. We also tend to picture, when you think of love, we think romance. But the scripture love language is so much broader and so much deeper than that. Scripture also tends to talk a lot in verbs, and we tend to think of love as feeling and a noun. With philia, we recognize brotherly love and sibling love, but we are just as quick to recognize sibling rivalry. Our kind of home chuckle is the oldest graduated in 4 years, the second is graduating in 3, the third and the fourth are both finished, or third and the fifth will finish a semester early. The fourth looked at me and said, "Don't count on it." You hear the echoes of sibling rivalry. Storge, we get mama bear. We get that. Parents coming to the defense of their children. In fact, there's all sorts of conversations about whether or not we need to teach our kids to fend for themselves a little more and not always be mowing down every barrier in their path. But there's also the flip side where you see the posts on Facebook that say to young ladies, you can walk out to any older woman and say, "Mom, this man is bothering me." And every single woman will step to your defense. Doesn't matter whether or not you're actually this person's mother. But that will echo. And we would all show up. "Oh, he's bothering you, is he? Come here, honey, sit by me." Not letting that happen. Philautia, in our language, it's narcissism. And we have conversations about that too. Self-involved, people focusing on these, not looking around at the world, people not paying attention to what's going on around them, people not paying attention to, I don't know, basic rules of the road, people not paying attention to their community. That kind of self-love that says it's all about me, because I am wonderful. Just ask me, I'll tell you all about it. Not in the Bible is another Greek word that is heavily in our culture, and that is pragma. That is pragmatic love. That is, you love the people who can do something for you. Or they love you because you can do something for them. It's not one of those that is used in the Bible, but it is heavily in our culture. You love for what you can get out of it. Or you are loved for what you can give others. And then there's agape. Self-sacrificial giving love. If you're looking for agape, the King James Version of the Bible, this is your 1 Corinthians 13 love. Love is patient, love is kind. Agape. If you pick up a King James Bible, and many of you have, and many of you might remember that it is faith, hope, and charity will abide. And the greatest of these is charity. The King James Version translates agape as charity, as that charitable, self-giving, out of your own resources, you're not going to get something back, as charity. Interestingly enough, if you want to understand something about our culture, the New King James Version translates it as love. They have made the shift just to love and have dropped that aspect of charity. We are called to be about agape. We are called to be about shepherds lay down their lives kind of love. We are called to be about the love that Jesus exhibited laying down his life for us. We get to be about that kind of love knowing the end. Jesus laid down his life and rose again on Easter. We get to go about that kind of love knowing exactly how life-giving it is. And Paul describes it as patient and kind. That agape kind of love is not envious, it is not boastful, and it is not rude. Agape kind of love does not demand its own way. So if you're practicing agape, it is not my way or the highway. That's not how agape works. Agape is not irritable, and it's not resentful. Agape is not rejoicing in the wrong, but rejoices in truth. Agape kind of love bears, believes, hopes, endures, and is endless. Agape kind of love is the love that feeds and shelters and nurtures, because God's people need feeding, sheltering, and nurturing. It is not a call where you're going to get back necessarily. What we do get is strength from God. What we do get is knowledge that we are following in Jesus' footsteps. What we do get is knowing that the agape kind of love is the kind of love that is creative and life-giving and transforming and reconciling. Because the Greek recognizes that there are all sorts of different kinds of love in the world. And the Greeks understood that perhaps we need to be a little more precise about how we talk about them. For us, it gets translated all as love, but our example is Jesus. He is our definition of what God's love looks like and how we too can live out that love. It's the verb, agape, let us love.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the 10 a.m. service from Central Presbyterian Church in the Village of Avon. This radio ministry has been made possible by Stokey Farms, 656 South Road in Scottsville. We at Central Presbyterian Church believe that the love of God should flow through us to our members, our community, our nation, and the world. Visit us on the web at cpcavon.org or call 226-2626.